In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the world we have a saying, let the buyer beware. And we're put on our guard against all the false advertisements telling us that this product or that product is going to save us or to make us happy. It's going to do something special for us. And as I point out, little children soon learn that the commercials all lie. That toy that looks so wonderful, as soon as you get it and play with it for a little while, it's boring. You want something else. And so these advertisements, we soon learn to take with a grain of salt, or to question and to begin to try and second guess. What is it that they're really saying? What is in the fine print? And I mention this because this is basically what our Lord is telling us about religion today. Beware of false prophets. Beware of those who are going to come to you preaching in my name, saying, Lord, Lord. Not all those who say, Lord, Lord, are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Not all of those who say they believe in Christ actually believe in Christ. It is a false advertisement that Christ is trying to put us on our guard against. These false shepherds, they're going to come looking like sheep. As all the false advertisements we see, it all looks good on the surface. It's not until you begin looking closely, digging a little deeper, that you find the truth. And so it is in the matters of religion, in the matters of our faith, we are to constantly be on our guard. And it's not enough that it all sounds good. We're going to have to start looking to the fruit that it produces. What fruit comes from it? What is the long-term goal, the long-term outcome? If you buy a product, you want to know how long is it going to last? What is its life expectancy? What is its usefulness going to be to me over the long run? You know, so many times I've gone different places and visited people and they all, do you want a souvenir? Do you want to take something back with you? And I've looked through those souvenir shops many times. And there are a lot of interesting things. And every once in a while I'm tempted, but as soon as I look at it, I think, if I take this home, where is it going to be 1 year from now? And then I can honestly examine it and say, well, 1 year from now I'm going to be bored with it. It'll be stuck in a closet somewhere. It'll be forgotten. And I won't be paying any attention to it at all. So I really don't need this, do I? And of course, if everybody did that, then the souvenir shops would go out of business. Everybody thinks at that moment, I need this little trinket to help me remember or to recall this occasion. Or whatever it may be, that I'm not sure what psychological games they play to get us to buy this trinket to take home with us. But this is pretty much the same thing that all the false religions in the world are doing, even those false Christian religions. They're all presenting us with something that sounds good. And there are many who come to the faith, to the religion, and they're looking for nothing more than a trinket. We've bought into this idea that everything is disposable, everything is temporary. And so many people even accept their faith as this throwaway thing. It's not something that they're going to carry with them their entire life. And that is a tragic mistake. For what Christ is offering us is not something for just this moment. Christ isn't offering us something that's going to make us feel good right now. But this is what most of the false religions are selling you. They want you to feel good right now. They want you to be part of the in crowd. One of the greatest sales gimmicks is everybody is buying it. User satisfaction. And they'll all tell you about the good things people have said that have used this product or that product, how pleased they are with it, and they'll give their testimonials to you. This is what has taken place in religion. Religion has become nothing more than testimonials. How good it makes me feel right at this moment. How it helped me out of this crisis in my life or that problem. Solve this difficulty for me. And it looks good. But it is not the faith that Christ has offered us. The faith that Christ has offered us is one of suffering. He says to us, take up your cross daily and come follow me. You say, but Christ has also promised us happiness. Yes, he's promised us eternal happiness. And if you'll just open up your eyes, you'll see that perfect happiness is not something that exists here on earth. Who is perfectly happy? Who is perfectly content? From the richest man to the poorest, they're all wanting something. Or, as St. Augustine would tell us in the first pages of his confession, their hearts are restless. St. Augustine continues, they are restless until they rest in God. When will we rest completely in God, if not when we are in heaven? Until that time, there's always going to be a problem, a difficulty, an inconvenience, a pain, a misery, a sorrow. And that's not something that our society buys up very well. It's not something we eagerly go in pursuit of. We want this superficial, immediate gratification, immediate satisfaction. We are a very impatient people, a very impatient society. We want what we want, and we want it now. And I'm sad to say that very few ever really mature and learn to be patient. Learn to work long term to obtain that which they want, that which they desire. And of course, the money lenders are very eager to give you what you want right now. Just sign on the dotted line here, and we'll charge you compounded interest for the next 20, 30, 40 years, you know. We'll work a deal out with you, and you can have that which you want right now. Instant gratification. Just sign here on the dotted line. I'm really surprised how many people buy into it. How many people sign on the dotted line without considering, what is this thing called compounded interest? What does it really mean? And at the end of this loan, when I finally get it all paid off, how much will it have cost me to borrow this much money? Nobody stops to consider that. All they think of is this immediate gratification, getting what I want and getting it now. I'm not trying to teach you economics. I'm trying to teach you the economy of salvation. God is not offering you that immediate gratification. He's not promising you heaven here on earth. If He did, you would not have any desire to go to heaven. What God is offering you now is a valley of tears. Oh, there are moments of pleasure that He gives us to encourage us so that we are not beat into the ground. He gives us moments of pleasure, happiness. He allows roses to grow along this valley of tears. But He doesn't want us to stop at the roses. He wants us to see the roses and say, look, if God makes the path, this valley of tears, so wonderful, so beautiful, so magnificent, what must heaven be like? I must be even more eager to get to heaven and to willingly leave the roses along the wayside so I can go in pursuit of that which God holds out for me. These are just the breadcrumbs that He sprinkled along the way to lead us to the path into heaven. So He warns us, don't pay attention to all those who say, Lord, Lord. Don't look into all this that looks so good on the surface. When you hear that preacher preaching something that sounds too good to be true, pull a little bit on that cloak and you might see a little wolf underneath there. Look a little deeper. For what Christ promises us is happiness not here, but happiness in heaven. You will be able to judge by their fruits. But when does the tree bear fruit? Do you have to wait all season long? Or if you plant a little seedling, you have to wait, what, 5-6 years before it produces fruit? In this life, we look for fruit in eternity. Which faith, which religion in this world puts saints in heaven? It is only in the Catholic Church. It is only through a life of dedication, a constant warfare against ourselves, against the world, against the devil. All the other religions are promising you this nice bed of roses, this path of pleasure that they say is going to end in eternal bliss. And the Catholic Church says, come along and now do penance. Unless you all do penance, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you mortify yourselves, unless you follow the laws of God, unless you fulfill your duties and obligations for your station in life, you can forget it. It's not a free ticket. You have to work for it. And yes, there is nothing we can do that will ever merit us by our own merits to get into heaven. It is truly a grace of God. The Protestants are right when they say God has done it all. But they are wrong when they say there is nothing for us to do. Faith without works is dead. That's what the Scriptures tell us. It is not enough just to believe. It is not enough to just say, Lord, Lord. We must have works. We can't just talk the talk. We have to walk the walk. They have to go together. We have to prove by our lives what we believe. And the Catholic Church is the only one who can point out this path, this life to us, without reservation. Take up your cross. Not once in a while, not just during the season of Lent or when things get rough, but Christ said, take up your cross every day. Take up your cross daily. And come, follow me. Those are the ones that will find eternal happiness. Those are the ones who are going to produce good fruit. And yes, you're going to find ministers within the Catholic Church who have failed because they are human, who are miserable in the same miserable sins and circumstances like everyone else. You'll find that. But what you will notice is that within the Catholic Church, the doctrine is the same. The morality is the same. The teachings are the same. You must do penance. You must repent of your sins. You must change your life. You must put off that old man and put on the new. You have to become this new creature in Christ. This is what God holds out for us. This is what our Holy Mother, the Church, teaches us. It's not enough for you just to pray. It is not enough for you just to come to Mass on Sundays. You have to transform your entire life. You have to develop within your heart a longing, a burning desire to be with Christ. Otherwise, we're just spinning our wheels, wasting our time. Forget about looking for pleasure here on earth. It's an illusion. As I've read so many fairy tales to little children, they all end happily, never ever. And they all tell me I've got it all wrong. I said, well, just look out in the world. Who in this world is living happily ever after? You live happily ever after when you're in heaven. Only in heaven will you be happily ever after. The young girl who's looking for the perfect husband. He doesn't exist. He's a figment of your imagination. I can say the same to the young boys. You're looking for the perfect wife. She doesn't exist. The only perfection is in heaven. Everybody else, everything else has faults. Everything else is going to be a disappointment. And so many young people getting married, I say, you know, I'm not original, I repeat, Bishop Lewis. You know why they call it a honeymoon? Because it's as sweet as honey. But it changes, just like the moon. What is sweet today is bitter tomorrow. And we must realize that. not only when we get married, but in every aspect of our lives. This is truly a valley of tears. And if we'll come to understand that, if we come to accept that, we will find pleasure here on earth. We will be pleasantly surprised. But what is more importantly, in eternity, we will find that eternal happiness. We will find that happily ever after that our hearts are so eager for. But we must come to the true church. Not only come and listen, but hear. Take what our Holy Mother, the Church, has to say to heart. Take it home with us. Digest it. Let it become part of us. Too many Catholics are guilty of coming and hearing a sermon, saying, "Oh, what a wonderful sermon that was." And then they go out to the door and they go home and turn on their sports channel, pick up the newspaper, read the comics, and talk about what's going on in politics, in the world, in the news. And there is never a second thought about what they heard at Mass, what the sermon was about, what it means to their lives. And so they take home nothing. And if they take home nothing, what is it that they've gained? Basically, nothing. They're spinning their wheels. They go home with an illusion that we have pleased God. We have gone to Mass on Sunday. We've fulfilled our Sunday obligation. Well, I have news for you. Your Sunday obligation doesn't end after Mass. You know, Sunday is just like all the other days of the week. They're 24 hours. Keeping holy the Sabbath, keeping holy the Lord's Day, encompasses a whole 24 hours. Not just 1 hour at Mass. And I would suggest to you that not even 24 hours once a week is enough. God wants not just a portion of our lives. He doesn't want just a little bit of our time or just a little bit of our lives, a little bit of our love. He wants it all. God is a jealous lover. He has given Himself completely to us. All that He has, all that He is, He has given to us. He gives Himself to us in the Holy Eucharist. What more could He do for us? And I ask you, what should He expect in return if not all our love? He is serious when He says, you must love Him with your entire heart, your entire mind, your entire soul, your entire being. You must love Him more than you love anyone, anything else. You must love Him even more than you love yourself. That is what God demands of us. And our entire lives, everything that we do, should become a prayer. It becomes an opportunity, to quote the Jesuits, to do all things for the love of God. Or to go back before the Jesuits to St. Paul, it doesn't matter what you do. If you eat, eat for the love of God. If you fast, fast for the love of God. If you play, play for the love of God. If you work, work for the love of God. Whatever you do, put your heart and soul into it and do it for the love of God. Give it your best. Give it your all. Because you're not doing it for worldly reasons, for worldly advantages. Everything a Catholic does should be done for God. And therefore, everything a Catholic does, he does to the best of his ability, putting everything into it. That is what throughout history has distinguished Catholics from all the other religions. People who run businesses used to look for Catholics because they know a Catholic's going to be not just on time, he's going to be there before time. He's not going to run out the door as soon as the time is over, but he's going to make sure the job gets done quickly and efficiently and well. And why would he think that a Catholic would do this? Because it has been instilled in Catholics from the pulpit, from our schools, that we're doing it for God and therefore we must do our best. We put our all into it. We're doing it so that we might merit eternal happiness. We're doing it so that we might produce good fruit. And I suggest to us that we take a lesson from the economy, the world around us, and come to this realization that we're not going to find complete happiness in this world, no matter where we live, no matter what products we have purchased. True happiness only awaits us in heaven. And we're only going to attain that happiness in heaven by taking up Christ's cross upon ourselves. Daily carrying that cross, patiently, willingly, lovingly, as Christ has gave himself to us, so we must give ourselves to him. And on this path, we must be very watchful against those ravenous wolves, against all those who are out there saying, "Lord, Lord," trying to show us an easier way, a simpler way. It is a deception. There is no easy way. The only way is following Christ through the cross. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.